Gracious Father, we thank you that we are your children. We thank you that you are pleased in us through Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you let the good news come now, not only in word, but in power and in the Holy Spirit in full conviction. And all God's people said, amen. Well, in 1992, this powerful thing happened, especially in the life of, you know, if you're a guitar geek like I am, this is a powerful event. It was when Eric Clapton was on MTV Unplugged. This was 1992. And believe it or not, I know this sounds crazy, but that was almost 30 years ago, just so you're keeping track. 1992 was almost 30 years ago. And but this is just this powerful event. And so Eric Clapton, who for a big chunk of the 80s, was kind of in and out of music, but hadn't done a whole lot, and he hadn't had a really hit record in a few years. And so when he did this, it was all unplugged. So, right, he did, he's playing an acoustic guitar. Now, if you know Eric Clapton, you know, he was the guitar god, right? He played electric guitar, and it was all about rock and roll. And he was, you know, he played with Cream, and one of his big hits was a band called Derek and the Dominoes, and it was Layla. And it was the song that he wrote about trying to steal George Harrison's wife. I know, that's really what it's about. I don't know what to say about that other than when I hear the song, I just don't think about that part. I just sort of ignore the meta message and just enjoy Layla. And Layla's Derek and the Dominoes is a great album, and the whole thing is great. But Layla is particularly good, and if you hear the first part of it, you know that sort of iconic riff that Eric Clapton goes into. Now, when he was on MTV Unplugged, he played Layla, except if you know Layla, it didn't sound like Layla. In fact, he got up and he started playing, and it was in a very slow tempo, and he was just all acoustic, and we were all wondering, well, what? This sounds familiar. Right? This song sounds familiar, but I can't quite place it. And it wasn't until when he started singing, everyone applauded because they go, oh my goodness, I know this song. But it sounds different. It's different. It's not the sort of driving rock rhythm that we knew. It's something different. And he's doing a whole new thing with this song. And it's amazing. And of course, that album went on to sell probably millions of copies for Eric Clapton when they turned it into an album. And just like that event, that's what Jesus and John the Baptist are doing here when we see the baptism. See, there was this, we'll call it a revolution song, right? A Messiah song. And it was a song that the people of Israel were longing to hear. Long ago, God had promised Israel that one day he would return and he would bring them out of captivity. He would bring them out of exile. And he would put right what the world put wrong, right? He would do these powerful things. And Isaiah told about it. And Jeremiah told about it. And Amos and all the prophets. And it goes all the way back to Abraham, right? All the way back there. All the way to the prophets. But truthfully, the people of Israel were still singing that song because God, it appeared to them, because Rome was in charge of Israel, it appeared to them that God hadn't quite lived up to the hype of the song that Isaiah and Jeremiah sang to the people of Israel, right? It was a revolution song. It was a song where God was going to destroy the evil, wicked nations and to lift Israel up and make and forgive her sins and make her a light to the world. And Isaiah has this idea that one day in the last days, God would raise up Zion. That's the place where Israel, you know, where the temple is. And he said he would raise up Zion and all the peoples of the world would stream to it. And God would teach them. And they would not even have, there would be no more war because God would put aside all war. And that was the song that Israel had sung. And they had caught it from the prophets and they began to sing it. And John the Baptist comes in and he starts singing that song. Right, Andy talked about it last week. John the Baptist had a very short sermon. Many of you wish I had this sermon this morning. Right, his sermon is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. You see, now for us in the modern day, when we think kingdom of heaven, we just think, well, heaven, you know, that far off place. But John, when John sings it, that's the revolution song. He says, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is here. Repent, get ready. Because remember, God's going to come back and he's going to put the world right, and we got to be ready for it, so we got to repent. And so what did they do? They went out to the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River, if you know Israel's history, is an important river, right? The Jordan River is the one that they had to get their feet wet before it parted, right? They had to kind of take a step out in faith, and then the water parted, and they crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And so John the Baptist takes them back to the Jordan River, where it all began. And he says, it's a new exodus, a new beginning for God's people. And they came and they said, God, we want to be right for your kingdom. We want to repent from our sins and welcome you, this new king back. And John said, I'm baptizing you with water, but the one who's coming after me, he's going to baptize you with fire and with the Holy Spirit. You see, that's powerful words. That's kingdom words. That's revolution song. And we all know the tune and we all sing along with it. And then it's got a rhythm and it's got a beat and I can dance to it. It's great. And then Jesus comes and John says, this is the guy I've been talking about. He's the one who will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Spirit. He's the king who is coming to set right this world. And just like Eric Clapton, Jesus started singing a song, and it sounds familiar, but it's different. It kind of sounds like the revolution song, but it's all different. I can't dance to it. I can't quite get the rhythm. It just doesn't sound right. And he begins at his baptism. What everybody expects is for Jesus to come in and then say, I'm now going to baptize you. I'm going to rebaptize you. I'm going to bring fire and I'm going to bring the Holy Spirit. And what does Jesus say? He says, I need to be baptized. Remember, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. John's baptism was a baptism to say, I'm getting ready for the king to come. And if Jesus is the king, then what is he getting baptized for? And that's what John says. John says, no. Jesus, I don't think you understand. This is not what this is about. You should be the one baptizing us. And Jesus says, it must be so now to fulfill all righteousness. And in non-Bible talk, what he's saying is, we have to do this to fulfill the will of God. God's will must be done, and it must be done this way. And the song was jarring in the people's ears. It was jarring in John's ears. He didn't even understand. We see in chapter 11 that John himself doesn't really quite get it. He's not singing the same song as Jesus, it appears. And Jesus says, I'm going to be baptized. Now, you've got to understand, there's a lot of symbolism. In fact, Jesus' name isn't actually Jesus. I know that's crazy. See, Jesus' name is actually Joshua. Right? And the Greeks, they changed the name just a little bit. And so instead of Joshua, it's Jesus. But it's just, his name is Joshua. And remember, quite a long time before, there was a man named Joshua who led the people of Israel into the Promised Land. His name means Yahweh saves. Another Joshua shows up whose name means Yahweh saves. And who's in fact the king. And he's going to come to the Jordan River once again. Because this Jesus, what is happening when Jesus is baptized is he's saying, I'm taking on all of Israel's story. I'm taking on all of Israel's identity. I'm taking on all of Israel's failures and sins. Jesus is identifying himself completely and fully with God's people, God's plan, and the failure of Israel herself to keep that plan. See, he's baptized too. And when he's baptized, he comes up. And just as Israel was God's firstborn son, when he comes up out of the water, the heavens are torn apart. And the Holy Spirit descends like a dove upon him. And he hears a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. See, now Jesus is going to take on Israel's story and Israel's place. And right after this, do you see what happens? As soon as he comes up out of the water and the Holy Spirit comes upon him and God says, this is the one. He's sent into the wilderness to be tempted for how many days? 40 days and 40 nights. Just like Israel went through the wilderness temptations for 40 years. You see, Jesus is completing their story. Where Israel failed in the wilderness. Remember, Israel went into the wilderness and they failed. But Jesus goes into the wilderness and he succeeds. See, Jesus is keeping their story for them because they were incapable of keeping it themselves. Israel was never capable of being the conduit of blessing through whom God would bless the entire world. They weren't capable because they needed redemption and forgiveness just like we do. So Jesus took on their role. He became Israel, and every step of the way, he was faithful where Israel could not be faithful. He was faithful even to death, even death on a cross. See, the story of baptism is a story of Jesus saying, I'm going to take on all of Israel's identity and her story and her failure and her hopes and her dreams. I'm going to take on all of it, and I'm going to be faithful where she could not be faithful, where they could not be faithful. And because he did that, he was able to fulfill all the righteousness of God. He was able to keep the plan that Israel herself could not keep. Now you can see where Paul picks up on this, right? Because the story of baptism is the story of how we connect with the church. Jesus left this design. He says, when you become Christians, when you become followers, as Paul says, we are buried with him in baptism. It's symbolic, right? We're buried with him in baptism. And we are raised to walk in the newness of life. Because Paul continually tells us in Romans and Corinthians that whatever happens to Jesus happens to us. He died. Therefore, we die. Right in Galatians, he says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, because I died with Christ. You see, Jesus died and we died. When we follow him, when we become part of his family, when we give ourselves to him and he makes us new, we actually die. Part of us actually dies and we are raised to walk in the newness of life. All the old things are passed away. All the new things live. See, this is what baptism is all about. It is about us telling a story. More than that, but it's at least part of that. It's us telling a story. It's us telling Jesus' story, that Jesus died and was buried and was resurrected. It's us telling our story. I died. And now I've been raised to walk in the newness of life. You see, the truth is, the story of baptism is the story of redemption. You see, Israel's story is exactly like our story. God calls us to be righteous in the world, and we can't. We're broken. We're so profoundly broken, we can't do it, just like Israel was. Israel was so profoundly broken, just like we are, that they couldn't be the people God called them to be. And so Jesus did it for them. And you can't be the person God created you to be, because just like me, you're so profoundly broken. But Jesus did it for us. He did it for us. He did it in our place. He took on all of our brokenness and our identity. And so when Jesus was baptized, he sort of took this name badge off of me that says, Lee Cook, liar, sinner, cheater. And he took the name tag off and he put it on himself. And then he took his name tag off. And his name says Jesus, Son of God. And you are well pleased. And God is well pleased with you. And I got to take that name badge and put it on me. Not because I'm good. Not because I'm smart or handsome as I am. No. It's because Jesus did it for me. And that's why Paul says what he says. He says, once we've gotten a new identity, can we just go on doing whatever we want to do? Of course not. That's crazy. We don't do that. We have a new identity, and we've been raised to walk in this brand new life. Jesus took our name and put it on him, and he took his name and put it on us. So because of that, we have some new ways of living. And those new ways of living have nothing to do with the old life that we left behind, but rather the new one that Jesus has given us. Some of you this morning may be here, and you've been baptized in the church, and you've been a member of a church, but deep down you know that you are not living a baptized life, right? You're not living a life that's honoring and pleasing to God. And maybe you still come to church. Maybe you, on the outside, everything looks good. Maybe you just haven't spent time with God in a long time. Your heart's grown bitter and angry and resentful and fearful. And God says this morning, remember your baptism. Remember Jesus' baptism. Paul says, we can't go on living the old way we lived. We have to live this new life. Because we died to sin and now we live. And Paul has this whole idea that we have this new life in us now that empowers us to live. But maybe some of you came in this morning and you are struggling to believe that God is pleased with you. How many of you woke up this morning and you thought, you know, God's pleased with me today? I mean, you woke up and you heard these words that the Lord said to Jesus, the Holy Spirit. He says, this is my beloved Son, and with him I am well pleased. God is pleased with us. Not because I did a lot of things that pleased God last week, but because Jesus was faithful. And his identity is now my identity because he took on mine. See, many of us need to hear these words anew and afresh. Again, this is my son that I love. This is my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. And you just need to hear that this morning. And God's not pleased with you because you're super spiritual or because you're excellent or because you give a lot of money. God is pleased with you because of Jesus. And maybe this morning you need to hear those words brand new. God is pleased with you. You are his son. You are his daughter. And he loves you. And he loves you because of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would help us to listen for your voice. Your voice that calls us and calls to us and comes down and says, you are my son, whom I love. Father, speak to us now in this quiet place. Father, call us out of our brokenness. Call us out of our sinfulness and call us into new life. I'm going to ask you to just remain in this prayerful sort of state for just a few more moments. And our band's going to come forward. We're going to sing a few more songs. But what we hope that you'll do is you'll be listening. You'll be listening to the stirring of the Holy Spirit as he speaks to you. That you'll be ready to respond to what you hear him call you to do. Our ushers are going to come forward and we're going to take up our offering. And if this is your first or second time with us, we promise we don't want anything from you. We're just glad you're here with us this morning. But let us give ourselves to this, to Jesus, who gave himself for us. Maybe this morning you need to take a step out in faith and do something. Maybe this morning you need to just have a time where you repent of something that you're doing. Or maybe this morning you need to hear those words from God that I love you and I am well pleased. with you. However whole the Holy Spirit's speaking, I hope you'll just be listening and letting him speak and responding in his, to his grace.